Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at some verses there in a moment to start. Kevin is one who's inspired this lesson, so if you don't like it, see him. Some time ago, he did preach a lesson, I think, on our society and what is happening in our society, which inspired me, I think, to go through. I was just trolling through some on the internet, and I came across a very long article by a leader of a, well, I'll just say it's the leader of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in central London. And this place, this group is probably well known because of John Gill, who has commentaries out, and Charles Spurgeon. But there was a long article, and I want to read some excerpts from the beginning of this article to help us to get a feel for what I want to talk about. As I stand here, though, I noticed Maureen and Gary were not here, and so I asked Wayne where they were. They're over in North Carolina. They're feeling good. They're not sick or anything, but I need to mention that. All right. This article began with, "No one would deny that reverence is due to the Almighty God by right. But how can he be properly acknowledged and worshipped if the worshiper has replaced him with a God of his own making? Today, many evangelical Christians have remodeled God, turning him into a being only a bit higher than themselves. He is no longer the infinite, almighty, holy God who sees and searches every heart. Their revised God does not mind how they worship him. And so there is no need to have inhibitions or qualms about anything done in his presence." So I want to focus, I think, for a time and consider the notion of reverence and its application to Christians. We begin, I think, I want to look at the begin with a reading of a verse, a couple passages in Hebrews chapter 12. And verses 28 and 29. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." There's no question, I think, that we have to reverence God. He says, they say that we may serve God acceptably, and then they define how that is done. That is with reverence and godly fear. Reverence here literally means with downcast eyes or great humility. And fear here means caution. All we need do is look to the Old Testament where the Israelites were reminded in Leviticus chapter 19 and chapter 26, the essential need to observe God with reverence and fear, that is with great humility and caution. So let's look at those two verses. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. Leviticus 19 and verse 30. This verse says, "You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And then turn over to chapter 26. Chapter 26. And let's read verse 2. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Twice it says that you shall keep my sanctuary. You shall reverence God. I think this last passage here from the Old Testament is interesting because the sanctuary at that time was a tent. It was not the great temple that was later built. And we learn from this passage that the most commonplace setting was very special and deserving of reverence because the presence of the Lord made it so. And Nate, when he began with that first song, talked about the fact that we are in the presence of God when we are here in this building. So I want us to just think about reverence and fear for God, because it's my conviction, and this is my conviction, that today in the United States, our prevailing culture and many religious organizations are proclaiming that everyone is on the same level, that we are all equal, that we all deserve the same benefits and blessings, which I think by extension now is projected in the spiritual life and worship of many people today. This attitude is one of many of the contributors that I'm convinced that has led to the manner in which religious groups work and worship and view God with an emphasis aimed at serving the audience rather than God. In effect, bringing the Creator down to the level of humanity. Brethren, we need not only to honor and obey our God and reverence our God, but we need to embrace the truth that there are those that we need to honor and obey in the world because God has commanded it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Here we learn that children are to honor their father and mother. The word honor means to hold in high esteem, to value them for who they are and what they are. In other words, respect, honor your father and mother. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's look at verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those that must give an account. Here we see that we are to obey the leaders in the church and we are submit to them. And we do this with joy and not grief because it's good for our souls. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 1. No, 1 Peter 2, chapter verse 17. 1 Peter 2, 17. 1 Peter 2, 17 reads, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In this passage, Peter writes that we are to honor all people. Honor the king. I cite these passages because the words honor and obey have a lot to say with regard to how we are to show reverence. Honor and obedience, as the Bible puts it, involves acting and living in such a way that elevates others above self. If that is to be our demeanor with people, what does it say about our demeanor of the God of the universe? More importantly, this verse in Peter says that we are to fear God. In general, in the Old Testament, this word fear means to be afraid, to be alarmed, to be in awe of, to revere. In the New Testament, the word fear, according to Vine's dictionary, is more than a fear of righteous retribution. The emphasis is on a wholesome dread of displeasing God. A controlling motive, I think, in matters spiritual and moral. That's really what it means to fear God. And it should be a controlling motive. And I can think we can see this idea in 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, where it says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Then he continues by encouraging respect generally when Peter writes, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." In these passages that I've read, Christian living is characterized by giving deference where deference is due. The very meaning of reverence, respect, and honor. In other versions, the word reverence is fear. Again, Vine's dictionary says this means to act with the reverence of holy fear. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Again. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "By faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about Noah. That's who he's talking about. And how did Noah react? With fear. He heard the voice of God, and as Genesis 6:22 says, he did according to all that God had commanded him. Reverence for God moves one to obedience to his word. I don't think it can be simply be denied today that worship today in many religious groups is characterized by informality and spontaneity, leading to a style of worship that has adopted upbeat instrumental music that produces choruses, hand clapping, swaying, designed to emotionally please whom? God? No. The audience. That's who it's designed to please. Rather than giving deference to what God wants in worship services. I know this. I don't like to tell this story. But before I became a Christian, I attended a large Methodist church in Salem, Ohio. And I was teaching the youth group, the young people. And there was quite a few of them. And they proposed to me that they would like to have a folk service. So I took it to the leaders and they said, well, sure, that would be good for them. So I worked with them. There were several of them who could play guitars. Some of them were in a chorus and could really sing. And so we put together a folk service in which we played guitars, we sang charismatic songs, and some of the young people walked up and down the aisles and encouraged the audience, the members there, to clap and sway. And why did we do that? Not because we thought about reverence to God, but because we wanted to please those young people. We wanted them to have their music. We wanted them to enjoy the service, the worship service. I'm not in the least proud of what I did, because later, when I did come to understand what God wanted in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, I repented. As Kevin says, I knew the truth, and I knew what I had done was not showing reverence and honor to God based on what the scriptures say. Now, I acknowledge that there is a certain degree of freedom in worship services. It's, you know, how many songs we're going to sing or when to collect the offering. But informality and spontaneity can, and I believe has led to unintended irreverence and disrespect for God in worship. We are in his presence. What does he want from you and I in his presence? I'll tell you, worshiping in truth and spirit should contribute to strengthening our relationship with God and with individual members as we honor and obey His commands, and we elevate Him to the infinite, almighty, holy God that He is. Respect and reverence ought to be the hallmark of Christians. In the world, it ought to be that way. We need to understand what it is to honor all. We need to understand in the world how we need to live as Christians. But it also needs to be when we meet as His church community. Mature Christians ought to show due reverence and respect for God in all aspects when they come together to worship. 1 Timothy 6:11 has a list of distinctive and specific virtues. These are not virtues or things that we read. They're not virtues that build on one another. Each one is specific. Each one is distinct. Let me read it to you. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Now, all these are particular in nature. They're very distinctive. They don't build upon one another. But I want us to consider this one of godliness. The Greek word means the right demeanor before God. That is reverence and respect. It is all about showing humility on our part before God and deference toward Him. And herein is, I think, is the root of the difference that separates appropriate congregational worship from today's new style of worship, in which carefulness in God's presence and deep respect for His words of instruction comes in second in many different ways. Brethren, reverence for the Lord and His word maintains within us a right degree of seriousness and diligence so that we do not collapse into lightness and superficiality with the emphasis on human satisfaction. And that does not just mean in this worship service. It is particular, I think, to this worship service. But it means in the world at large, in our interactions with other people. Regardless of how crass they may be, we cannot fall down to that level. Regardless of what kind of language they use, we cannot allow ourselves to fall down to that level. We need to honor all with humility. With humility. The writer of Proverbs proclaimed in chapter 24 and verses 21 and 22, "My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both." To my mind, the proverb writer is saying, calamity will come to the one who has given the change and to the one who associates with that kind of individual. Now, we cannot withdraw ourselves from the world, but we can choose our friends and those who we associate with carefully and seriously, and understanding what reverence is and what honor is. So the question that I asked myself after I heard Kevin's lesson is, what is my bearing? What is my stance? What is my behavior before God, not only in this worship service, but in this world? If I have a deep respect and reverence for God, shouldn't I always find myself the need to behave in a proper and appropriate manner, showing honor, showing deference to those whom I need to do? So, you know, can I honestly say that if I hurriedly, when I know that services are going to begin, and the song leader is standing up here, or the one who's going to give the announcement standing up here, If I hurriedly rush to my seat because I've been out there, can I honestly say that my mind is in the proper focus, the proper demeanor? You know, we spend, when we take the Lord's Supper, we actually do that. We actually say we're going to take a minute or two. Why? To put our minds in the proper focus, the proper frame of reference, the proper reverence that we need to have. And we need to do that when we begin services too, because we are in the midst of God right here. And we need to have our minds focused, our demeanor set, so that we're ready to honor God, to honor His Son, to sing those songs that mean so much, and get ourselves in the proper focus, the proper demeanor. I think it seems to me that expressions of reverence and honor to God needs to be seen first and foremost in worship services. Because if it's not seen there, I wonder if it will be seen in other places outside of this place. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. I don't always do that. I don't. And I really need to get my mind set on the fact that I need to be humble, have the kind of humility that God wants me to have, to understand how to treat people, how to come to them with fear. Now that fear is not one of being afraid or alarmed. That fear is one of displeasing God in my conduct and how I live. And that's what I think the lesson that Kevin taught several months ago got me to thinking and beginning to ask myself, do I show reverence? Am I just part of this society that is just sinking lower and lower and lower in how it treats others? And what happens is that if the society and the way we treat each other goes down to here and we're just a little above it, we think we're okay. Oh, that's okay. I've not sunk to that level. But then they go down further. Well, I can get down a little bit further. We need to be careful of that mentality, that attitude. We need to give deference where deference is due. That's what God wants us to do. Honor all. Honor the King. Honor our friends. Honor our neighbors. Hold them in the highest value possible. And let us act in such a way that what they see is Christ living in us. That's what they need to see. Well, I got finished sooner than I thought I would, but it's the message for today. If there's anyone here who understands now what they need to do to become a Christian, and that is what Kevin said, what you need to do is first of all understand that you are a sinner. That's what Romans is all about. Those first chapters of Romans is to point out to both the Jew and the Gentile, all are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. The Jews may have had the oracles. They may have been God's chosen people in the Old Testament, but now we're all the same. We all need Jesus Christ and His blood. And we all need to understand what we need to do. Repent of our sins. And get ready by confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior and being buried in baptism with Him. And when we come up, we start a new life. And that new life is one that respects, honors, reveres those who would do this reverence, especially God. In every aspect of our lives, no matter where we at, are who we are. And if you've not acted that way, if you know that perhaps you need the prayers of this congregation, and we all do, You know, we all do. I appreciate prayers that mention me and Murray. I appreciate those prayers because we all need God on our side. And if you need the help of this congregation, we stand ready always to give you what you need. If there's any way that we can be of service, let it know, be known as we stand and sing the song, which has been selected.